Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. We're going to continue with the Day of the Lord. And so this will be part two, verses about the Day of the Lord, which is the tribulation time, God's wrath on planet Earth. So we'll begin with Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, looking at verses that have the phrase Day of the Lord in it and how it's described in the Old Testament. And Amos chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." Like, who wants that? "To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Could you imagine somebody saying, "Well, I just can't wait to get into God's tribulation. And I can't wait to get into all the plagues that he has for the earth." And it's a day of darkness. And we already saw how it's actually a day of a spiritual darkness. That's the day when the Antichrist reigns, not when the Christ reigns. But we also see that it's a physical darkness too. We're not sure how much of the time, but there are times when there's no light coming from the sky. And we saw that before. The sun and moon will be darkened from man's point of view from planet Earth. Verse 19 in Amos chapter 5 says, "And if a man did flee from a lion and a bear meet him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him." And you're thinking, you're going from bad to worse, you know, from the frying pan into the fire. So it's like you're running from a lion and, oh, got away from him. And, oh, there's a bear. It's even more ferocious and angry. Or you go into your house and kind of go in to get away from something and lean up against the wall to get some rest, and then a snake bites you, a viper bites you, a serpent will bite you. So, boy, that'd be a terrible thing. Verse 20 says, "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it?" So here we see it's a time of darkness, the Lord tells us. Day of the Lord, it's a terrible time, terribly physical time, a painful time. It's like going from bad to worse, and it doesn't get better. But none of that, it's a physically dark time as well. So it's a time of darkness, and we should, nobody should want to go into that time. We're going to Zephaniah chapter 1, and so there's a couple Z's in the minor prophets, Zephaniah and Zechariah, but we're on the PH one, Zephaniah, and that comes first. It's not in alphabetical order. So Zephaniah chapter 1 down in verse 14, we're going to see it's a time of distress. Zephaniah 14:1 says, "The day of the Lord is near." It is near. That's not necessarily means it's going to, from Zephaniah's perspective, it's going to be the next day or in a couple days, but it's close from in God's perspective. It's a certain thing that's going to happen, and it must happen, And also, notice this, we're going from Bible book to Bible book, and these Old Testament prophets have something to say about it. Some of them, many passages, and there's others as well, but we're just kind of looking at some of the, maybe some of the key ones or main ones. So back into Zephaniah, 1:14 says, "The great day of the Lord is near." Notice this, it's talking about a great day. It's just not some any old ordinary day. It's something the Lord wants us to sit up and take notice of. "And hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly." So the Lord is dealing out his wrath, and mankind who does not want God is going to cry bitterly. Why? Because of pain, because of loss, because of separation, because of God's wrath. Well, how do you get rid of that? Pain and wrath and bitterness. Well, you turn to Christ. You humble your heart and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. 15 says, "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress." So here's a stress. Wrath from God, trouble and distress. "A day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." So again, when he's talking about a day. It's not just one 24-hour period of time. We know from other passages it's actually 7 years, but you know it's his day talking about a general time, but yet again the Bible limits it to 7 years. A day of the Lord, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. The Lord says, "And I will bring distress upon men." So this is the Lord doing this. "And they shall walk like blind men." Like they can't see. They don't know where they're going. "Because they have sinned against the Lord." You see, this is it. People need to admit that we're sinners, sinning against the Lord. So the idea is to repent from your sins, to look to Christ, confess your sins to Him, trust Him as your Savior, take Him as your Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, whether we admit that He is or not, He is. And so here we see that it's coming upon those who have sinned against, they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Just terrible destruction of humans during this time. The Lord's doing this. He's created us, and He's given us an opportunity for salvation through Jesus Christ. And so this is what people go through who reject Him. "Neither their silver nor gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of God's wrath." You can't buy your way out of this. You can't get away from it. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or not. The Lord's wrath is going to be upon the sinners during the tribulation, the day of the Lord. "But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy." So the land's going to be burnt up and destroyed. He's a jealous God. People are not worshiping Him. They're worshiping themselves or other people, perhaps the Antichrist, material things, idols, money, you name it. They'll find it and do it. "For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." And so the day of the Lord comes from the Lord. We saw that it was a time of distress, and here now we're seeing, or a time of darkness, and now here we're seeing it's a time of distress, not a good time. I want to go over to the New Testament just for a minute. New Testament in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians talks about various end times kinds of things, or end times things. And so, but also it talks about something that we need to know here about the day of the Lord. So let's see here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. We'll come back to this again also, or maybe we'll just look at a little bit of context with it now. We'll just do 5:2. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." A thief in the night. And so it comes on suddenly. It's unexpected. Most people laying asleep at night, that's when a lot of cat burglars come in, and thieves and robbers come in. They come in at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning when people are asleep, before they wake up. And so that's a good time to rob a house, I guess people would say. You hear that in news and things like that. So, but here the day of the Lord comes that way. You're not looking for it. You don't expect it. There it is. And so there it is. So it comes unexpectedly. We're going to come back to that, but let's go to Jeremiah 30, verse 6 and 7 for a minute. Let's see, Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 30, because we need to kind of build some context for what we're doing here. We've already talked a little about this, but here is a time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 6 and 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Actually, let me back up. Let's do verse 6 also. "Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child." There we are. The birth pangs, the labor pains. For men, that's not right. That's not according to nature. What's going on? It's describing a painful time. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, on his belly, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. So people are white. Their faces are white. Like all the blood's gone from them now because they're in such pain and anguish and fear for all these terrible things that are going on. It's God's wrath from him. And so here we see that we see this birth pangs coming up several times. So women in travail, that's what the birth pangs means. That's the this time. But notice this again in verse 7, what I started out with. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. We saw that it's a unique time. There's no time like it on planet Earth during those 7 years. And then here, Jeremiah tells us it is a time of, it is time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Well, who is Jacob? Who's Jacob? All Jews, all the Jews, a Jewish person is related to Jacob. God's covenant went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. So God's chosen people are in the line of heritage of Jacob. And so we see that all Jews or all of Israel come from Jacob. Not Esau, but Jacob. And so it's time of Israel's trouble. It's time for trouble for the nation of Israel, for the Jewish people. But here it says, but he, or Israel, shall be saved out of it. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's what the nation is called, and the modern state of Israel also today. So here we can see that Israel, the tribulation is designed for the Jewish people, for Israel. Well, they've rejected their Messiah as a nation when he came the first coming. Practically the whole world did, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. And that's talking about the Jewish people. So Jesus is a Jew. He's the Jewish Messiah, the Jew's Messiah, and the Messiah who is a Jew. But yet, the tribulation is a time of terrible time for Israel. But Israel shall be saved out of the tribulation. We see also Paul saying something like this in Romans, where he says that all Israel shall be saved. So not only does Christ come back and physically and politically deliver Israel out of the tribulation time, but also spiritually too. Their sins will be washed. All Israel will be saved. Every Jew, when Christ comes back, will be saved. That's not true today, but it will be when Christ comes back. So Israel, the tribulation is for Israel, but yet Israel will be saved out of the tribulation as well. And we see that here in Jeremiah chapter 30. So the day of the Lord, here's another term for it. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble. And so it's the time of tribulation for Jacob, you might say. Matthew 24, verse 8, we'll see that here it's mentioned as well that we need to look at it. Again, we're looking at under the section women in travail or woman in travail. In Matthew 24, verse 8, the Lord gave this when he was on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Outside of Jerusalem in Israel. And so we call this the Olivet Discourse, or his discourse, what he gave when he was on the Mount of Olives. And we're, again, the connection with the Old Testament is, here it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the beginning of birth pangs. These are the beginning of a woman in travail. So here we have a marker. You could say a time marker. In Matthew 24, whatever the Lord is talking about here, he's talking about the beginning of sorrows for a woman, the beginning of the labor pains for a woman, the beginning of the birth pangs, these sorrows, the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of the day of the Lord, the first part of the tribulation, you see. What is he talking about here? What is all the beginning of sorrow? So we just backtrack a few verses You can say here in chapter 24, verse 4, says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." What he's talking about is contained within the beginning of the tribulation. And what's interesting is that this lines up with the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6. So when Jesus opens the first seal, the rider on the white horse, that white horse, a bow with no arrow, is the Antichrist. And so here we see this is a reference to the beginning of the tribulation. It's although, yes, there are false messiahs out there today, and there were in Christ's time, and there has been for, hundreds of years. But yet, this is not talking about today or the church age. The church is not in this section, because the church is not into tribulation as well. So here we see in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, that's not talking about Israel at war today with Hamas. It's talking about the wars in the tribulation, the next seal coming on, you know, the Antichrist. He takes away peace from the earth. Well, what's that? That's war. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end of the tribulation, the second coming, is not yet." See, so we have some time markers here that these are the beginning of the tribulation, and the end is not yet. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Again, referencing the tribulation. "There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." All these are the first, the seal judgments in the first part of the tribulation. Again, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, the first part of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. And so the reason that's important is that it's the tribulation, the birth pangs of the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble. So he's talking to Israel here, not the church. So the church won't be in the tribulation because the church gets snatched away, raptured out prior to that. And we're going to look at one more verse in this section here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So again, we're having these time markers, descriptive words and things with the tribulation. And so we're seeing what does the Lord himself say about the tribulation. So that's what we want to know. A lot of times you turn on the TV and you see these things happening, but or things today happening. But here we are talking about specific things for the tribulation. We're not into tribulation today. Praise God for that. It's a terrible time. So 1 Thessalonians 5, let's just do... probably start in verse 1 through 3. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord," well, there we go, "that the tribulation so cometh as a thief in the night." We looked at that earlier. It comes unexpectedly. They're not looking for it. There it is. But notice this in verse 3. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." So the tribulation starts suddenly, unexpectedly and suddenly. "As travail upon a woman," there you go, "and they shall not escape." The day of the Lord here is also talked about the birth pangs of a woman in travail. And so you see all the connection. In fact, here's a great connection. The day of the Lord, verse 2, woman in travail, verse 3. Very similar to Isaiah and the other Old Testament prophets that we looked at. But notice this here. The church is not around. Who will be looking for peace and safety? Peace and safety. Well, this is for Israel. This is for Israel. When someone would be the nations culminating with the Antichrist, because he'll be able to enforce a peace covenant with Israel when nobody can do it today. When someone says peace and safety, and finally we see that covenant coming, the agreement coming, that peace covenant. Notice this, we're already talking about who can make peace in the Middle East. Can't somebody work peace in the Middle East? Peace and security, peace and security. And eventually that's going to come into peace and safety, peace and safety. And so when that comes and they make this covenant with Israel, be careful, because that's the beginning of the tribulation. That's when it begins. That's the seal in Revelation 6:1, and those passages there in Revelation 6. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, because those in the church have already escaped via the Lord coming to get them. So here we are looking at some verses, some more verses about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord in the New Testament. And these things are here as a warning for his friend to get our hearts ready with the Lord, not to be proud, but to watch and to pray and to get our hearts right with God, to work while we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have hope, hope in him. Christ Jesus Christ is our hope. So I hope these verses are helpful to you, and look forward to seeing you in the next session, session 3. Thanks for listening.